able to really engage in the core message of the gospel in the core one of these core events that took place. There's two things that you see that, as we go through our year. One is Christmas, the birth of Christ, and the other one is Easter, the death and the resurrection of Christ. And those are two pivotal things that the Christian church, regardless of denomination, that it hangs from. Those are the two pivotal things. Advent is a tradition that the church has come up with centuries ago. And the themes are generally, there's four themes. And those themes are love. They start out hope, peace, joy, and love. For the Sunday service, we had to invert both the first one and the last one. So next week will be hope. The first one you had was love. But today's is on joy. And there's a movie we don't watch it every year, but it's a classic that's out there, and it's A Christmas Carol. And there's different versions of it, right? There's different ones, and there's one I'm really a favorite of. And I like this scene particularly. It's a good scene.
Hatchet, you're late.
Sir.
What do you mean by coming in here at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time, sir.
You are indeed. Step this way, Mr. Cratchit, please.
It's only once a year, sir. It won't be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
I'm sure you were. Well, we won't beat about the bush, my friend. I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. Which leaves me no alternative but to raise your salary. I haven't taken leave of my senses, Bob. I've come to them. From now on, I want to try to help you to raise that family of yours. If you'll let me. Well, anyway, we'll talk it over later, Bob, over a bowl of hot punch. Meanwhile, you just go and put some more coal in that fire. And you go straight out and buy a new coal scuttle. Yes, and you do that before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit. I don't deserve to be so happy. I can't help it. I just can't help it.
Scrooge was better than his word. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. And to Tiny Tim, who lived and got well again, he became a second father.
Uncle Scrooge!
And it was always said that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
wanted to show you that clip. Not only is it's a good clip, but I wanted you to see that because you saw the real Mr. Scrooge. He's the real, that's the real Mr. Scrooge. Unfortunately, we've given him a bad rap, right? Because whenever anybody talks about Mr. Scrooge, it's not that Mr. Scrooge. It's the former one. But there's somebody, what you saw there in his expression is what joy is, okay? Because joy is it's related to, you know, happiness. It's related to gladness. It's elation. It's all that. But there's an emotion with it that comes from within, and joy denotes shouts. It denotes singing. It denotes, you know, screams of happiness. It can't be held, can't be contained. And what you're seeing there, he couldn't contain it. And on a previous clip, a previous scene just before that, when he wakes up from his nightmare, his dream, his bad dream, he just goes, he's beside himself. He's doing a headstand. He's scaring his housekeeper because she's never seen him like this before. But that's what joy is. It's very expressive. It's that feeling you get when you get that phone call telling you that you got that job that you've been waiting for, you got it, you know. Or it's that feeling you get when you find out, you know, you've had to go for tests or whatever and you're nervous and it comes back, hey, good news, it's negative. Oh, it's that feeling there, right? It's you know, if you've won a grand prize and your name gets called, it's that, oh, really? It's always something or someone who is involved in that. And that's the key when it comes to joy. Joy is it's not so much about the emotion as it's what is behind that caused that emotion. What is it? What is it that triggered that to happen in us? Because has everybody experienced something like that? Like in some way? Like even as a kid, when, you know, at Christmas or a birthday or something, you get surprised, and it's such a good feeling to have that. That's, you know, as far as I've had many instances of that. Joy also denotes that something has occurred as opposed to something will be occurring in the future. And what do I mean by that? I didn't know we were there. Hope is, let me read you Isaiah 9. This is what hope is. Hope is hearing that a couple hearing we're pregnant. That's hope. That's hope. We're pregnant. But this is what Isaiah 9. This is hope. It says, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. See, this is all future, right? For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. Rejoice is another word for joy, right? You'll rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. And then it goes down in verse 6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his government and its peace will never end. That's hope, right? So in the prophecies in Isaiah are hope. This is what's coming, and it's an anticipation of what to expect. What's joy? We've had a baby. That's joy, right? Especially if you can remember your first one. We've had a baby, right? You know, and Luke 2, and we all know this. Now, if you've heard, if you watched the Christmas show, Charlie Brown Christmas, and Linus reads from Luke chapter 2, he does it very solemnly, but he doesn't capture the joy in it. He does a great job, but he doesn't capture the joy in it. But this is joy, and this is in Luke 2. That night. See, he didn't read it like that. He just read that night. This is how it reads. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. I don't know how an angel can reassure you. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. Not just the army of heaven, armies. Praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, holy cow. No, they said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had told them. Joy. That's joy. It's not just the event that took place, but it's the subject of that event. Right? I bring you great news that will bring great joy to all people. Good news. Good news. What's the good news? Savior. He tells you. The angel tells you. Savior. The Messiah. The Lord has been born. He's alive. Didn't know we need a Savior. Life seems pretty good. We need a Savior. See, unless you know you need a Savior, another baby born. Fact that it took an angel, we definitely need a Savior. Why do we need a Savior? What's the good news? Well, the good news is that there is this divide, this chasm between God and humanity. Because of what took place, you know, the fall of humanity, because of what happened. There's this divide in our relationship, this wall that's up. And God took the initiative. It's sort of like being in a shipwreck out in the sea. And you have no way of getting help. You have no way of helping yourself. You are done. You're just waiting for death to come. That's all you can hope for, is for death to come quickly, because there is no hope. And that's the situation humanity was in. And God took the initiative. He took the initiative. I'm going to rescue those people. I'm going to rescue them. And the good news is that he sent his Savior. God came in the flesh through his Son, Jesus, and showed us how to live real life, how to live it to the full, how to live the way that brings real life to us, not this fake life that we sometimes we fall into at times, but how to live real. More than that, all that garbage, all that sin you carry, you place it on me and I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it. That's the good news, because Jesus took that and with that he died and he suffered and rose again. Why? He's without sin, defeats sin. That's the core of the gospel. That's the good news, because we are in desperate need of a Savior. We're in desperate need. We need a Savior. And God answered that most desperate need of humanity that we all need. We need a Savior. My question is, have you experienced that joy? Not have you experienced joy. We've all experienced joy in some form or another. But have you experienced that joy? Have you grasped that? Have you grasped the good news? The beauty of Advent is that it allows you to focus and think about, what is this message? To ask yourself the question, do I really understand that I am like people on a ship that is sinking, that unless someone comes and helps me, I'm done? And then you realize the length, the great length that God went to. Unbelievable love that he gave his life for us. True friend indeed. And I wonder, have you ever spent time to ponder that? Have you ever thought about that? Have you considered it? Well, is it necessary to ponder it? Is it necessary? Absolutely. Because if you are looking for joy in your job, or in your spouse, or in your kids, or in getting your retirement funds solidified or whatever, if you are looking for joy in other areas, you'll get episodes of joy, but they won't be something that will sustain you. It's what is the one thing that you're focusing on, because that will sustain you through the tough times. That's what will sustain you, is the core of the gospel. How do I know this? Jesus modeled it, and a writer in Hebrews wrote about it. And this is what the writer in Hebrews wrote. Oh, that's not good. That's bad. I don't know why that did that. Okay, skip that. I'm going to just read it. It's Hebrews 12, verse 2. Okay? And I want you to hear this, guys, because this is important. Hebrews 12, 2 says, "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." I'm going to read it again, and I want you to grasp it. Because this is the core. It's not about your life getting all rosy and you never having struggles, because that's not going to happen. How did Jesus do it? How did he go through life? This verse tells you. So, the call to us, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion. And that word that's used there in that version, the champion, is an accurate word for it that's used from the original Greek there. But the champion, he's looked at as the one who's gone before, who has got the prize, okay? But we focus on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And it's, how did he do it? Because of the joy awaiting him. What was the joy? The joy was that he would be at the right hand of the Father. He would be with his Father once for all, forever. That was his joy he was focused on. And because of that, he could go through life. Yes, he saw the kingdom come. Yes, he saw things happen. But he had rejection. He was rejected by his own people. He was not recognized, right? He was lied about. He was falsely accused and brought to trial, and he was condemned to be executed. and he had to face that execution. And you have to ask, how did he do that? He did that because he knew the joy that was awaiting him. And he put his trust in God. Doesn't mean it was easy for him, but that's where he put his trust. And the writer in Hebrews is saying the same thing to you and me. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's your champion. Fix your eyes on him. He's our hope. He's our joy, right? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. We sang that song today. It's a beautiful carol. It's a beautiful carol. The words are great. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. And then the call to us in that song, let every heart prepare a room for him. Advent is a reminder again. Have you prepared a room for Christ to come in? Because he's your hope. He is, because we have to, doesn't life not sometimes feel like you have to endure? You endure, but there's a reason why you endure. Endurance means you hang in there. It's pushing through even when it's tough. Because there's something at the end. Now, I've never done a marathon. Chris has. I don't know what it's like to run for 2 hours, yeah, as if. I don't know what it's like to run for that length of time and have to try and push through different psychological barriers, physical barriers. But that's what endurance is. Endurance knows what's at the end, and that's what you focus on. What's at the end is we're rescued. We're rescued. Unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Right? That's the good news. That's it. That's the news the angel came to say right there. That's it. We say at Christmas, if you tend to be on the grouchy side of things, don't be such a Scrooge, right? Well, you know, I'd say to you, be a Scrooge this Christmas, okay? Be a Scrooge. Really? See, you get such a bad rap. It's hard for you to wrap your head around that phrase, isn't it? But that was the real Scrooge. He got transformed. And let us be transformed so that we can also be givers of joy into people. Just like you saw Scrooge, right? Bob Cratchit comes into work, and he plays, I love the joke he plays, because that's what I would do. I'd play that joke, right? And surprises. Bob Cratchit was speechless, right? Speechless. Speechless. Now we're going to go into a time of communion. And how does communion fit in with this? Everything. Everything. You know? You mean Jesus dying, that's good news? It's like this. Imagine you had such a very good friend. Think of one of your friends, a good friend, a best friend. Think of that. Now think today, you're crossing the road and you're not looking or whatever, and all of a sudden someone steps out and pushes you out of the way, but a truck ends up hitting them and killing them, and it's your best friend. I guarantee you on the anniversary of their death, it would be a bittersweet feeling. One, I'm alive because of that person. And yes, so miss that person. But on the other hand, so elated that they saved your life, that they would lay down their life for you. They would. They did that. They took the bullet, right? They put their life on the line and sacrificed their life to save you. That's amazing, right? Well, here's the thing. As we take communion, this is about the death of Christ, but this is part of the good news the angel brought. This was God's intention all along, that our sin would be placed on him so that we wouldn't have to carry that anymore, so that we wouldn't have to face death. Because we're not on a ship that's sinking, that our only hope is that it would come sooner so it wouldn't be so painfully long, agonizingly slow. We have been rescued, and we have life through Christ, and that is fantastic news. It's good news. So what we're going to do today is, let me just light these candles. And we're going to go through, we've done this before, a Lectio Divina, which is we're going to read a scripture passage two or three times. And then as you come up, you're going to take the bread, or it's a cracker, and you're going to dip it into the cup, and you're going to eat, remembering the good news the angel brought. This is part of the good news, guys. This is it. That Christ, the sacrificial lamb, because John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Look at him. John was the one that was like the angel. Look. The lamb. Well, the lamb meant in Jewish terms, that was the one who's going to be sacrificed. Our sin was going to be placed. The lamb was going to die. And we are considered free. Lectio Divina, how does it work? Just for those who aren't familiar with it. I'm going to read a scripture, and there's something important about hearing the word as opposed to reading it. But I want you to hear it. We'll read it through once. And I want you to just listen. This is Isaiah 12, 1 to 6. Beautiful words. This was part of our Advent reading today. But if you need to close your eyes to focus more, that's what I have to do sometimes when I'm hearing. But here's what it reads. Hear the word of the Lord here. In that day you will sing. I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me, and I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise with joy, for great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. I'm going to read it a second time, and I want you to pay attention to a word or a phrase from that passage that stands out to you. In that day you will sing. I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me, and I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise with joy, for great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. What word or phrase has stuck with you? I want you to hold on to that, because the Holy Spirit has given that word or phrase to you. Now I'm going to read it for the third and final time. And I want you to hear it again, but filter it through that word or phrase. In that day you will sing, "I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day you will sing, 'Thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is.' Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise with joy. For great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you." Praise the Lord. I'll be inviting you to come up. As you come up, I want you to focus on that word or phrase. And there's two places at each table, so two people can go up, and you just take a cracker. The cracker represents the body of Christ. Jesus said, the Gospels record that Jesus took the bread, he broke it, gave it shared it amongst the disciples that were there with him. And he told them to eat it. And he said, "This is my body given for you." And then he took the wine and he said, "I want you to drink this, guys. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It's a new covenant. It's a new promise God has made with you." And then he gave thanks. And the disciples did. Bread representing his body, our sins placed on it. His blood representing his life given to us. New life. So as you come up, yes, your friend took the bullet for you, but yes, you have been rescued. That's the good news. That's the joy we focus on, that we have been rescued. So this is how it's going to go. Do we have, I noticed Patrick and Laura aren't here today. Are they? Are they out there? Okay. If we could have, this is what I'm going to ask for. We have prayer ministry people who will pray, okay? And sometimes you want prayer for, it could be physical healing. Why? Because the king has come and he's brought his kingdom with him. So he heals, okay? You could want prayer, it could be for anything you're wanting prayer for. And the ministry team will come and pray for you. One or two people will come and pray for you. Now, for those who are on the ministry team and who can make themselves available to pray, you can come up first, but once you've taken part of communion, if you can just stand to the sides, those people standing to the sides, they will pray for you, okay? So, here's the deal. Here's how it's going to work. You can come up, take the cracker, and you can dip it in, remembering his body, his blood given for you. Take it and eat it. And then if you're done, you can go. Go enjoy. Go enjoy. The news has been delivered. And we live in that reality. We live in that reality of that good news. It's happened. And go enjoy. Be a Scrooge to somebody today. Seriously. Seriously, I'm going to redeem that guy. You know, give somebody a splattering of joy today. I don't know, something unexpected they've never expected. Why? Because you have been given that by Jesus. And if you want prayer, the prayer team will be either on this side or on either side. They'll be on both sides. Okay? So let me pray. We're going to give thanks for this, and then it's open. And this is how we're going to conclude this way. Now, if you want to talk and chat afterwards, if you can do it out in the lobby, just to allow people to focus on taking communion and to allow those who are having prayer just to be able to focus on what's being prayed for, because chatter just builds, right? We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. So, Father, oh, God, the angel came. And the news is still valid today. It's just as valid today as it was when the shepherds heard it. Lord, let us be like the people that the shepherds told the news to, that they were astonished. Let us have moments of astonishment, Lord. Let us have moments of joy where we just can't believe what you have done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming as the Lamb. For giving your body, pouring out your blood. Sin is gone. New life is given. The great exchange. Thank you so much, Jesus. We love you. Come and take part at the table.